Oh, right. Well, when we decided to add a
Mm-hmm.
band to the show, because one of the people in the group, in the cast, wanted to be a lead singer in a band, Frank said, fine, I'll put a band together for you. We'll have a band. And because the show was popular, we had a lot of musicians that wanted to be in the band. So we were auditioning musicians, but Frank said he wants it so that when he doesn't want it to ever get good and slick. He said, so as soon as we're able to get through a song from beginning to end, one time at rehearsal, it's in the show. And once it starts getting too good, it's out of the show. And some musicians said, I can't do that. But a
You have to
lot,
subvert your ego to do that.
yeah, and a lot of them really wanted to be in the show. They said, oh, I can do it, I can do it. They couldn't, they just couldn't do it. They try and they try. So finally, after months of auditioning and people would be in it for a show or two and then they'd like freak out, Frank said, okay, well, let's all just pick up instruments. And we literally learned to play on stage. We just each person, until we had like all the instruments covered. And, by the end of 3.5 years, the band started to get good just, because of doing it for three and a
Good,
half
good
years.
at that particular thing, which was trying not to get too good,
Yeah,
right?
but actually got good like
Oh, I
musicians,
see. Yeah.
in spite of all of Frank's efforts.
Right. Well, Talking Head did that too, I
That's
think,
right.
They just picked up some stuff and tried it.
But that was the K I S Kiss of Death. Is at the point where everybody started to feel like we were getting better, good as musicians. That's when they started to really think that we should be a real band now and start doing real songs and get really good at them and stuff like that. And that was kind of the end of the show
Well, what did the
eventually.
audience think? I mean, what?
Our audience was coming, I think, for the tacky thing. They weren't
So,
coming for the slick
right. So they got the
thing.
concept that
Yeah,
you, yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. The K E, the key was me, were, we were like them. The key was that we on the stage were like them in the audience. Like, we didn't seem to have any particular glamour or skill or anything special about us, yet we were up there doing what we felt like doing. Just like whatever you think of, you just do it. And it seemed like it made people feel like there were like unlimited possibilities.
Yeah.
You could do whatever you felt like doing and have fun at it.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's much less off-putting. And yeah, it's not like something to idolize up there on the
That's
stage, but
right.
something to almost be a part of if
That's
you can imagine
right.
yourself being part of
Yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually one reason. Can I talk about myself now? That's one reason. I like that idea because, I mean, that's one reason that I do this whole live thing instead of having anything pre-recorded. And instead of other people who use loopers, but they use it in kind of a, they kind of obscure what they're doing. They do it in maybe something with their hands or with their feet where the audience can't quite tell what's happening. But when I hit something and make a big motion, you can see the hit equals the loop starts or the hit, creates a sound when I do that. Then I think that there's a more direct impact, and they can sort of play along with me. They can be a part of the construction of the piece because they see how bit by bit this piece is getting put together, and I think that's very inviting for the audience. As some people doing electronic music are just sitting there with a laptop, and people are staring at this, blue glowing person at the screen, and they don't know what's going on, and it's alienating. They're not being invited into the process. This computer has a mind of its own, as far as they can tell, and it's who knows what it's doing. Well, why is that person sitting there? But if they see, me actually creating the sound, and then there it is, then I think that's much more human element to electronic music. And they feel like they can do it, that they look at that and like, oh, she's just hitting the thing and starting the loop. Oh, I could do that, so.
It is not A R A R C A N
Not arcane.
Arcane
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I try not to make it, I mean, it's clearly a lot of thinking has to go into all the programming and the songwriting mm-hmm. that I do, but I don't really want to get up there and just be kind of an intellectual, you know. I want to be a human being and mm-hmm. and have some emotion and, mm-hmm. and allow for some simplicity. I think simplicity mm-hmm. can be challenging as well.
You? P. E. R. Perform with P. A. Pamela Zero?
Pamela Zero or yeah. Pamela Z?
Pamela. I don't know.
Well, Pamela Zero. I've never performed with her. I know her. Mm. I think they moved to Wyoming
to
or
Oregon.
Something. Oregon, yeah.
Yeah.
Pamela Z is another looping and voice artist, very well known in the Bay Area and actually internationally now. And she's quite a good friend of mine. We've done a lot of work together, produced shows together, performed on the same stage. And we actually share an apartment in New York. We both have this kind of bi-coastal thing going on, and that's where I just came back from, was New York.
And M E E S S E messed up your instrument, but did it turn out that it worked?
Oh,
now?
Yeah. This whole traveling around thing is still a little bit new for me. I've been touring up and down the West Coast for quite a while in a car, but trying to put all this stuff on a plane is a little scary because it's very fragile, and all you can do is stamp.
In baggage, right?
Yeah, well, I try to protect it as well as I can and put fragile stickers all over it, but you know, those guys are just throwing it around. And I had a little scare here at the beginning because I just came back from New York and I hadn't even tried my stuff when I came home. And, you know, this was my first trying of the stuff after New York. And at first when I turned on my drum instrument there, one of the pads didn't work. And then I just turned it off. Well, accidentally we turned it off, turned it back on again, and it worked. So it's okay. Everything's under control. For now. Yeah.
You? R. L. Lucky. They. L. Lost. They lost Frank's wheelchair one time when we were going to Toronto.
Oh, then what do you do? Wow.
Well, we were hung out in the airport for a while until they found it.
Oh, they did finally find it.
Yeah, and they flew it to where we were. But we had to get one of their lender wheelchairs because, you know, he was Frank with no place to go.
Yeah.
And his wheelchairs rarely survive not slightly broken.
Oh.
They're always like one little thing is not quite right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. It's hard.
O. 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 T. O. U. O touring. O touring.
Oh.
You're lucky you have a place in New York. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's fun and it's not fun. I'm still considered rather a Luddite in this whole electronic music scene because I carry so much stuff and everybody else has found ways to use software and compress it down into a laptop. And I just don't want to do that for some of the reasons I explained earlier. I know it would be a lot easier just carry around a laptop, but I really like that giant mixer, you know, the sort of the tactile aspect of it and the fact that it's, I can see it really well. I have a vision problem, and I can see that really well, and I can see my rack of gear really well, and it's all very reliable, you know. And it so far I haven't found any software that does exactly what it is that these things do, And there's just, they're the things that I've been working with for years, and I've been creating music specifically for them. And I'd have to create whole new music if I were to use whatever it is that exists out there in computer software. So I'm just sticking with my gear. And it's very hard to travel with, especially when I'm by myself. Very expensive, too. Sometimes I have to ship it out, ship something out separately, and that costs money, you know.
That's what we do. Yeah, we end up shipping a lot of stuff. S-A, safer. That's what the thing. That's the idea. And it's safer, and it's less stuff to lug.
Right.
When you're getting on and off the plane.
Yeah. Well, one thing I just did was, I've been thinking for years about how to substitute something smaller for that mixer, because that's the real the big problem is that giant mixer, and just nothing has come out that works for me. And so instead, I bought two. And now I have one that I'm just leaving in New York, and one here. Wow. So instead of getting smaller, I got bigger.
Uh-huh. Sounds familiar. Huh? That is will not work when you get M-O more cities.
Oh, well, yeah. I can't have one in every city. Yeah. Well, I have thought about that. I can't. Well, I'm just kind of starting this whole national presence at this point, and having a presence here and in New York kind of covers the important stuff, you know. And once I can be in New York and get a car and be driving up and down the East Coast and touring that way, and I plan to do some of that next year. But yeah, if I go to Europe or middle of the country or something, that's a whole different thing. But by the time I'm going over to Europe, or you know, they'll give me money to fly these things out, you know, because if you do the big festivals and conferences and things like that, they've got some money in Europe, and
that's
they'll actually pay
us.
For
the
shipping.
They always say in Europe they'll pay you for doing
it. Oh, it's
it.
Quite amazing. I did do some Europe touring with Robert Ashley's opera ensemble, and we were treated so nicely, and just comparing that, and you know, every little town has a beautiful theater. And they put us up in nice hotels, and this is, you know, quite experimental music. This is not some big rock star. And just the contrast between that and the kind of treatment we got in the United States is really remarkable.
S-W-E. Well, I-M-T. Trying. Yeah, this online magazine out of Amsterdam that he was mentioning before. So he finally, the guy asked him a series of questions because he was having a hard time writing this article. Mm-hmm. So in the answer of the questions, one of them is, do you have any goals? Frank said, no, I generally don't have goals. And then he puts in parentheses in all caps, except to tour Europe.
Yeah. How long have I been saying I want to tour Europe? I've been wanting to do that for about 10 years. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think maybe just trying to get into some festivals and getting them to sponsor it, you know, is one way to start. And then at least you can get your plane taken care of and other things you can try to line up yourself. But, yeah, I would love to do that with this stuff. Now, I have a goal. That's one of my goals. But here's my big goal. My goal is to be able to be just an artist. And you know, write, create, produce, perform my music, and have somebody else take care of all the shit, like getting the gigs and the management and the agent and because that's to me about 90% of the work I do seems like that's what I'm doing, you know, just so that I can have those few precious moments of being creative. So my goal, my very modest goal, is to get someone else to take care of that stuff.
T-R, tribal performance. Tell her about that. Yeah, he wrote a poem called Tribal Performance, and it kind of addresses that. If you function within the art is a tribal thing, and then you've got so-and-so doing this, mm-hmm. and you've got so-and-so doing that, and it's all happening at the same time. And you get a lot more done, and it's a lot more fun. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of your idea. You know, you're doing, one person mm-hmm. is doing the music and the other thing, and the other person is making the phone calls, and the other person is Xeroxing. And
well, if you can find supportive friends who are, you know, willing to do that, that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. But all my friends are like, just like me, they just want to do their own art, you know.
That is why to COM combine. That is why to combine. Combine, how do you mean? E A each other. Each other's art. Oh, combined.
Oh, I see. So it's a bunch of artists who are working together. Yes. Each of them has different publicity tasks. Yeah. That's nice when you're producing a concert with some other people and everybody chips in and you know does their thing. That's great. It's different when you're just trying to do something all by yourself. Mm. You know, it's hard to get other people on board to help you out that way because they all want to do their own thing and I want to do my own thing. You know.
Like here, the three of us, we each kind of, we each do tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of how we can run the station and everything.
Yeah. Because,
like, there's Mikey doing the tech stuff, and then I'll do the stuff where I emailed you initially and kind
right.
of got it set up, and then Frank does the interview. And
yeah. Well, it's great that you have three people who are so devoted to this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your art, and you're doing it together, and that's your passion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even when I had a rock band for about 10 years, and you know, since it was sort of my band, they were my songs. I kind of created the whole thing. It was all my and I wasn't paying them a lot of money. Mm. It was everything really was still my responsibility to line up the gigs and do the publicity and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, you're lucky if you can find people who are sort of equally invested in the project.
Yeah. I think of it as a PAR, a part of the part of the art,
mm-hmm.
all those various mm-hmm. aspects, you think of it all as a part of the art.
Oh, well, that's a good attitude.
To get.
Maybe I should try to look at it that way.
Oh, other people. Oh, you see a part of the art is to get other people involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's that kind of outreach thing is he incorporates that into or sees that as part of his art.
Yeah.
A lot of what we do is community building stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the series that we've been doing at UC Berkeley, he bills it as Frank Moore and Friends. Mm. And then what we do is we make a lot of phone calls, do a lot of emails and say, you want to come, you know, we're doing this series, these are the dates. And we, you know, end up getting a lot of really great artists that show up. And then Frank will look around and see who showed up that night and then kind of create something on the spot using the talents of all the various people. So it's always a different mix and it's always incredible, you know. And then you don't know what's going to happen because then you don't know who's going to show up. And it takes a lot of the burden off of Frank. He doesn't have to, they're 3-hour performances. He doesn't have to fill 3 hours. He can say, hey, Kirk, read some poems, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
My stuff is always so meticulously organized. You know, it would be a lot easier if it was, if I were more of an improvisational person, But I'm really not. I mean, I have that side, but I'm really more of a kind of, I want to know what's going to happen next. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. It's a crafted thing that I've really worked out every second of, and you can tell from the songs that that's kind of what it is I do, and that's kind of how I want things to be. So yeah, if you can be open-minded enough to just invite people and see what happens, that's great. But I would always want to make sure they're really good and put everything in the right order, and you know, have a little bit of say over you know, how long your thing can be, and
W.
Control. It's called control.
Well, when at 1 G.I. gig 5 M.I. minutes before we were going to start. Which one is this? You're talking about the band at the benefit? 5 minutes, but we were the last act of, is that what you mean? Are you talking about when there was no band? We were the last act of the night, and 5 minutes before we're ready to go on, we realized that the band, there's none of the band showed up.
Nobody?
Well, it's because that thing where Frank puts out, you know, and says, and he invites, like, you know, he has this huge list of people he'll invite. And, I mean, most of the time you get way too many musicians that can hardly fit on the stage. H, A, M, H, A, M. No. L. L. H. A. L. Half. Did. Not. Show. And the other half left. So in that particular night, half didn't show, and then by the time we look around and the other half had left, because we were the last act, I was C-O-N-S considering your P-I-P-O-S
Position
of being more like the way Amy was talking about it. The merits of that.
Yeah.
But what he ended up doing was interrupting the act that was playing at the time, which was Extreme Elvis, who has this incredible band. And he said to Extreme Elvis, can I borrow your band? And Extreme Elvis said, well, contrary to popular thought, we're not a cult, so I can't tell them to play with you, but I would strongly recommend that you, and he kind of goes around to them. And so they did. So
that that's great. So it worked out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so your ability to just improvise every aspect of everything can often get you something wonderfully unexpected.
Yeah. Always. Always was something wonderfully unexpected. L. A. Last. Gig at the Chemos. 20. We had a 20-piece band. That I think that tied our all-time large band. There were so many people. Chemos is a pretty small stage, so we had people sitting on the floor that were in the band, you know, or right at the edge of the stage to fit everybody.
And there were probably more people in the band than in the audience?
by the end of it, yes. I don't know. Yeah. P, probably. P-R. E. Pretty. Close. Pretty close, yeah. What do you have a D A day job. Do you have a day job?
No. I compose to make money. I'm actually starting to make some money doing this in various places. I also compose for modern dance and theater and film, things like that. And also just do technical work in the studio. Sometimes people come in and ask me to put together a CD for them or something like that. I work a lot with dancers, just doing technical aspects of music for them. And I also do voiceovers for children's toys, at Leapfrog Toys. So my voice is in lots of Leapfrog toys. Learning toys for you know, counting in the alphabet and grammar and things like that. So.
Can we hear a Leapfrog voice?
I haven't done that many character voices. A lot of it is just sort of, you know, singing the alphabet, you know, just having kind of or narrating a bedtime story in a really nice, you know, soothing voice. They often use me as the kind of nice maternal voice, which always offends me a little bit, you know, but there it is. It's like very maternal.
F-O-O. Fool them. You fooled them? Fool them.
And I do stuff in other languages, too, which is kind of strange because there are lots of people who speak the other languages. But they actually have me do things in Spanish and French and Japanese and German, just because I've sung in those languages and kind of I can get the accent down and then I know enough of them to get by. So I'll go in there and do a one session and have like five different languages.
Do you have SHO shows coming up that you want to plug?
What do I have here? I'm going to be. Oh, I wish I could remember all the dates. I don't have a real like this is Amy all by herself thing coming up soon. Herb, who's my husband and engineer and best friend and everything, helps me with everything, is also a fabulous composer, musician, and is working on his second solo CD, and he and I are going to do a release together, so a CD release together in January. We're not sure exactly where. Before that, I have some short performances on September, is it 23rd? It's the Saturday around there. I'll be at the Woodstockhausen Festival, which is
27th.
Okay. Yeah. The Woodstockhausen Festival, which is an electronic music festival in Santa Cruz. I'll be doing a short set in that, and I'll also be doing a short set in the Santa Cruz Looping Festival on October 11th, I think, or 12th. And then I'm in a gigantic chorus piece by Mia Masaoka that will be performed at Yerba Buena Center on the 10th and 11th, I believe, of October. Two gigs in one day. My website is isproductions.com/Amy. That's isproductions, all one word, .com/Amy. So if you go there, you can find out all about the shows.
We don't have your CD.
Oh, well. I'm flabbergasted, I know.
Frank realized that when he was doing his homework.
I don't have her CD.
Oh, yeah. Well, I should have brought you some. I'll be sure to send them along.
T-O-O. tried to find your S, your site. We have a contact the bands we play section on Lover. Mm-hmm. And so all the bands that we played, we have their names and contact info.
Yeah.
And so that's where he went to get your website. And uh-huh. he said, her website's not there. We said, well, that's because we don't have her CD. We don't have her CD.
Oh, yeah.
Not A. Not X.
Well, I'll be sure to send some. I've got two CDs with my band, and one that I made really long time ago of just sort of poppy electronic music, and then the new one that I'm working on. I've got half a CD done that I've been selling at gigs because it's all I've really got to represent this new work. And by the end of the year, the whole CD will be done. Mm. But I can send you everything that I've got so far.
Good. Yeah. It's time. Yeah. So.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was really fun.
My pleasure. That there will A I. Air on. It will also. This show will also air on Berkeley's public access channel. Mm-hmm. Frank has a couple shows on there, but okay. This will be on there in probably like a couple months.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Great. Yeah. Amy X Newberg, B-U-R-G.
Yes, indeed.
The, but, if. You do A S E Q A R
a search
for Amy X. That's how he found you. He did a search for Amy X and found your website. Yeah. So, if people don't remember the website address, do a search for Amy X. Yeah. Okay.